This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman wa rabbal alameen. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Amma ba'd. Today's hadith is hadith number 7. And in it, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and the title, by the way, of the chapter is Allah loves the benefactors. Those who are helpful and benefit people, Allah loves those. So in this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam says, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The most beloved of people to Allah Azza wa Jal are the most beneficial to people. وَأَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the Prophet is going to list them. The most beloved of deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ. A happiness that you bring to a Muslim. أَوْ تَكْشِفُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَ. Or you remove his affliction. أَوْ تَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنَ. Or you pay his debt. أَوْ تَطْرُدُ عَنْهُ جُوعَ. Or you chase away his hunger. And also he continued عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and he said, وَلَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أحب إلي من أن أعتكف في هذا المسجد يعني مسجد المدينة شهرا. He says, if I were to walk with my brother to fulfill a need of his, it would be more beloved to me that if I did i'tikaf in this masjid, he's pointing to his masjid, which is the masjid of Medina, for a month. And he said, وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. The one who withholds his anger, Allah conceals his faults. وَمَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظَهُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُمْضِيَهُ أَمْضَاهُ مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ رَجَاءً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the one who holds back his fury and his anger, had he wished to, he'd be able to fulfill his anger. Right? I mean, to take it to the end, to do something with it. But he doesn't. He holds it back. Allah will fill his heart on the Day of Judgment with hope. وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخِيهِ فِي حَاجَةٍ حَتَّى يَتَهَيَّأَ لَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامُ. And the one who walks with his brother in an affair of his, until that thing is fulfilled, meaning in a need of his, until the need of that brother is fulfilled, Allah will establish his foot on a day when feet will slip. And that is the Day of Judgment. So this longer hadith tells us in the beginning that if you want to know one of the things that will make you most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, because that is a question that we're asking in this book and in every halaqa and in every encounter, it says, how is it that I can love Allah Azza wa Jal? And how would Allah love me? What is it that I can do? So we're listing these things that we can do for Allah Azza wa Jal to love us. And if you want to be among the best whom Allah loves, then this hadith tells you of a thing that Allah loves the most. And it tells you something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah loving that tells you who He is. So if you want to be among the best, then you would be the most beneficial to people around you. And that makes you among the best. And we will see why that is the case. But if we were to ask the question that we ask ourselves from time to time here, why is it that Allah Azza wa Jal, why is it that He loves the beneficent or the beneficial the most? It is because He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beneficent. Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Nafi'. Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Rahim, meaning that Allah is the one who gives everything. All the benefits that we have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as He blesses, He wants you to bless. As He benefits, He wants you to benefit. Not to go against the orders of Allah or the intent of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning He blesses and you take it away from people. He benefits and you take it away from people. That would be going opposite the intent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would make you among the people that Allah azza wa jal dislikes the most. Because if Allah likes the most beneficial the most, then the opposite is true. Those who harm people the most are least in the eyes of Allah azza wa jal. So if you think about it, who benefited among humanity, who benefited people the most? Or who benefited, benefited, and still benefits people the most? Who are those? The prophets. The prophets of Allah, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, from the beginning to the end, in terms of the revelation that they give to people, but also in terms of all the help that they give to people, in worldly areas and in religious areas. So the most beneficial were the prophets of Allah. We will talk a little bit about that, inshaAllah. So that now we go back and let's focus, because the focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is it that Allah azza wa jal loves the beneficial? Because Allah azza wa jal blesses us with everything that we have. And that is something that we forget. That all our ni'mas, they come to us from whom? Allah azza wa jal, exclusively from Him. And so physically, visibly, you see them coming from somebody and through somebody and through somebody's help. So somebody went and they brought food to you or they cooked for you. And you need to be grateful for all of this. Somebody helped you and you need to be grateful for all of this. But it is really short-sighted for you only to see them and not see the one who made that possible for them. Right? So if a relative of yours is good to you, he's good to you, she's good to you because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your wife, if your husband, if your kids, if your parents, if your neighbor, if a complete stranger is good to you, they're good to you because of something good to them, alhamdulillah. But then who made that good thing in them happen and exist? Who made that a possibility? When Allah Azza wa Jal reminds the parents to take care of their children and makes taking care of the parents an obligation upon the children, tells the wife, take care of your husband, and vice versa, the husband, take care of your wife. Everybody take care of each other, and it is haram to do this and this to hurt them. So who has done all of this? Allah Azza wa Jal, is as if He had enlisted every single person who's willing to listen, because that's the thing, who's willing to listen, enlisted them to help you and to protect you from their harm. Every human being, that's the obligation, right? So if you want to think about the gifts that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given us, one of the earliest or the earliest gifts Allah had given every one of us is the gift of consciousness, the awareness to be alive, to go from nothing into something, and then the ability to learn, and the ability to grow, and the ability to love and be loved. Because without that, this life would be unbearable. You need to go through life not feeling that anyone loves you and not being able to love anything. This would be an unbearable life. But Allah Azza wa Jal not only makes it bearable, but very desirable. Right? How many people want to live this life when they think that they're going to die? Very few. Because of how desirable it is. So Allah Azza wa Jal made it beautiful despite all the complaints that we have about my life and my lot in life and what I have missed and what I wanted to do, but it was not a possibility despite all of this. But when you realize it's time for you to leave, you don't want to leave. Why is it that you don't want to leave? Because you've seen things in this life that are attractive. You've felt blessed in it. And then if you ask yourself, despite all the complaints that we have, if you ask yourself, who is the one who is behind all of this? It's no other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the beauty that you see around you, in animals, humans, right? The planets and the stars, all of this, who's behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And there is a quote here that is beautiful and it's good to remember. It is Abu Darda, this is page 73. He says, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, كم من نعمة لله تعالى في عرق ساكن كم من نعمة لله تعالى في عرق ساكن. How many blessings of Allah are there in a dormant vein? In a vein of yours that is dormant, that is quiet, that does not bother you. So in every piece of your body that at this moment is not bothering you, that is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So may say, okay, this wrist of mine, these joints, my eyes, my ears, right? Okay, if you're not complaining about them, they're not hurting you. So every single one of these things is a ni'mah, right? So when do you realize that it's a ni'mah? Not when you're healthy. When do you realize that it's a ni'mah? When they start hurting. And you say, oh, oops, I can't sleep. My knee hurts so much. My back hurts. Have you seen people with back pain? Or a person with a headache who cannot sleep? Right? Or a person who cannot walk? You mean you think that, you know, I'm walking, I'm great, and I'm healthy, and you see somebody having difficulty to walk, and you know that at one point in their life they could. Now they can't. And you realize, subhanAllah, that's a ni'mah that I forgot to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to thank Allah for. Well, I woke up today complaining, right? I woke up today unaware. All I can see is darkness and, you know, what is absent, not what is there. So these ni'mahs of Allah Azza wa Jal need to be realized. You don't have to wait to be sick in order for you to see them. But remind yourself of these ni'mahs of Allah Azza wa Jal simply at times by visiting the graves to see who's dead, to realize the ni'mah of life. Or being around those who are afflicted with certain types of sickness for you to realize the great ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal in health. The great ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal in clarity or in having peace of mind. That I'm not agitated today, I'm not depressed today, I'm not anxious, I'm not worried. You woke up today, one of the greatest ni'mas is to wake up today or in day and you feel happy. And you haven't done anything visible, discernible to earn this. You just wake up and you're in a good mood. You realize how beautiful that is to have a good mood? Because you could wake up another day and you're in a terrible mood and you don't know why. And it's hard to bring that good mood back. So this is a ni'mah from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't want to wait till we lose to realize the ni'mahs of Allah Azza wa Jal. But let's thank him for all of this. And one thing that this brings is that it makes us love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the more that you think about it. The more that you see yourself immersed in the ni'mahs of Allah, you'll appreciate every and each one of them. And it becomes big in your eyes, the ni'mah of being able to see. When you really thank Allah for it, it grows in your eyes. The ni'mah of being able to hear, the ni'mah of being able to go. You can, you know, go into your car and drive for many kilometers. And Allah Azza wa Jal could send, you know, you could go from this area to that area with ease. You could afford to do so and you have your own vehicle. Isn't that a ni'mah? Try taking the bus. To realize the ni'mah of that. Try walking to realize what that ni'mah is. So the more that you realize it, the more that you love Allah Azza wa Jal. So in page 75, Abu Sulaiman al-Wasiti rahimahullah said, ذِكْرُ النِّعْمَةِ يُورِثُ الْحُبَّ لِلَّهِ ذِكْرُ النِّعْمَةِ يُورِثُ الْحُبَّ لِلَّهِ. He says, if you remember or if you mention, these two things are related. If you remember or you mention the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal, this brings or will grow the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So dhikr means two things, to remember and to mention. Because sometimes you do not remember until you mention. Because people around you do not remember until you mention it. Then it becomes dhikra. So sometimes dhikr is what? Remembrance. And sometimes dhikr is what? Saying it, right? Alhamdulillah for this, so that the rest of the body remembers that there is a ni'mah. But this is a practical way for you and your children. If somebody were to ask, how do I make my children love Allah Azza wa Jal? Let them see all the ni'mahs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Talk about Allah Azza wa Jal as the creator that you love, as the one who had given them, not you. Thank Allah for this. Thank Allah for this ice cream, for this cake, for this trip, for your favorite food. Allah Azza wa Jal made it possible. Allah made it possible for you to enjoy it. So you direct them to Allah and they will be connected to Him and they will learn to thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the more that you mention of Allah's ni'mas, the more that you will love Allah. And you will see, by the way, in the Quran that Allah brings or mentions His ni'mas often. Because when you do this, what happens is that you will favor Allah above everybody else, and then you will worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, not anybody else. And then when you need something, who do you ask? Allah Azza wa Jalla. But it has to be what? A practice. Because when you're in distress, you will turn to the one that you really trust and rely on. There is kind of, I mean, absolutely no pretense there. Because we can say now, sitting down, right? We should call on whom? We say Allah, because we know that that is the thing that we need to say, right? Right? Like, as children, you even rehearse it. Who is this? Allah Azza wa Jalla. Who is the one who created you? Allah. So we know what to say. But in moments of distress, who is the one that you actually call on? And who's the one that you rely on? And whom the one is that you trust? This cannot be rehearsed. This is a reality that reflects what you love and what you hate, what is close to your heart. So the more that you mention Allah's ni'mah and you remember them, the more that you love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, you should also start seeing, as we said before, that humanity and creation are only conduits that bring ni'mahs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that your heart is not a slave to a human being. It's not, yes sir, yes ma'am, thank you so much for this. Thank them, but your heart is not enslaved to them, because you see what? Who's behind it? Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who employs you is not the one who gives you money. Sahih? Is not the one who gives you money. Who is the one who's giving you that money? Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you believe that Allah gives it to you, you could go against your employer if they upset Allah Azza wa Jal, and they could sack you, they could fire you, and you still believe that, Allah will give you something better, because you don't believe that they provide. Allah provides. But if you believe that they are the providers, you will not be able to stand up to them, because your soul is in their hands. If they take this away, there is no way that another will provide for me. So you will submit to them. That's why some of the ulama have said, do not submit to any human being except Allah Azza wa Jal. Respect is different. Revering people is different. We owe that to people. Gratitude is different. But he says not submission based on believing that they are the one who give you the ni'mah. Allah is the one who gives you the ni'mah. And the more that you believe that, the more free you will be. You'll be freed of servitude to humanity, and you'll be servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And in recognition of all of these ni'mahs, realize also that you could not thank them. Right? You will not be able to thank the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're always in debt, no matter how good you are, how many sins you avoid. You're always in debt to Allah Azza wa Jal. So there is no room for pride and arrogance and self-admiration. Whatever I do is nothing compared to the ni'mas of Allah Azza wa Jal. There is here an interesting story. And the likes of these stories, they don't need to be 100% authentic stories for you to learn something from them. There is benefit in them regardless. That's why the scholars, right, when they write, they would bring these stories, because you could learn something from them, right? If you can learn from fiction and parables, right, you could learn from these stories, because it could have happened. And if not exactly, there's something to learn from them. So Wahb ibn Munabbih, rahimahullah, he said, عبد الله عابد, this is on page 75, عبد الله عابد 50 سنة, he says there's a person who worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal the period of 50 years. 50 years. فأوحى الله إليه إني قد غفرت لك. So Allah revealed to him, I forgave you. Meaning you are now a forgiven man. After how many years of worship? 50. You are now a forgiven man. So this man wondered, he says, Ya Rabbi, wama taghfiru li walam udhnib. He says, Ya Allah, what are you forgiving me? And I did not commit a sin. Meaning in his head, as he looked at it, For 50 years, I was what? Devoted in ibadah. This is not something like what we do today. What is devoted in ibadah? Think about a person who's in the masjid 24/7. With me? 24/7 in the masjid. Can you do that? Okay, for 50 years? That's what we're talking about. That's the kind, because what, you know, motivates him to ask? It's like, what have you forgiven? Because he's thinking, what is it that you've forgiven? And I'm 24/7 in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, Quran and Hadith and Ibadah and Dhikr and so on. There is no sin. Where is the sin over there? So Allah Azza wa Jal here's the lesson. قَالَ فَأَذِنَ لِعِرْقٍ فِي عُنُقِهِ فَضَرَبَ عَلَيْهِ فَلَمْ يَنَمْ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ. So Allah Azza wa Jal permitted a vein in his neck to start it to throb. So he couldn't sleep and he couldn't pray. ثُمَّ سَكَنْ. Then it quieted that nerve. Then he quieted at the end of the night. So he slept. فَأَتَهُ مَلَكْ. Then an angel came and visited him. And at the time of Banu Israel, that used to happen. So an angel came to this man. So the man saw it as an opportunity to tell him, to complain. And he said, قَالَ فَشَكَ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالَ مَا لَقِيتُ مِنْ ضَرَبَانِ الْعِرْقِ. He says, if you could see how this vein was throbbing last night, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't pray. فَقَالَ الْمَلَكُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقُولُ عِبَادَتُكَ 50 سَنَةً تَعْدِلُ سُكُونَ هَذَا الْعِرْقِ. He says, your Rabb is telling you that your worship for 50 years is equal for quieting that nerve of yours. Right? That one, that thing that you've done for 50 years and you saw as plenty, that is equivalent to making you healthy. You haven't repaid me for the rest, right? For life. You haven't repaid me for food. You haven't repaid me for protecting you. You haven't repaid me for anything. So thinking that, right, our ibadah is something, is a disease. And the cure of that is to see the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and His ni'mah and to believe that when we're doing it, meaning a ibadah, in gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal to fulfill an obligation so that Allah Azza wa Jal would forgive our shortcomings. Not that because I've just finished my salah, now I've thanked Allah for the ni'mas of that day, or because I said Alhamdulillah after a meal, that has sufficiently thanked Allah for all the things that I ate today. It's impossible, because if you just think about it, you know, if you ate rice, if you ate bread, think of the many people. This is what Al-Ghazali rahimahullah said. He says, think how many people were involved in making your meal. You think about it. How many people just for the rice to grow it and harvest and collect and transport, and how many people transported that until it came to you? Count the many people. Right? Or if it's bread, wheat, how many people? And if it's spices, how many people? So think about it. Just the mere saying of Alhamdulillah, you think that that is it. You've actually thanked Allah for it? No, we haven't really. But saying Alhamdulillah is a good first step to recognize the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in general, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودُ. We are thankless when it comes to the ni'mas of Allah and thankless when it comes to humanity as well. So our motivation should be, or you know, our plan, project should be to become more thankful and to become more aware of the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we could love Allah more. Because the way that we live today, in general, we focus on the bad, not the good, on the loss, not the gain, on the negative, not the positive. And then we say, because of that, Allah did not give us and Allah did not answer our dua. We need to revive in all of us, us first and then others around us, an appreciation of all the ni'mas of Allah Azza wa Jal, so we do not look with discontent at all the problems and magnify them and ignore all the good things that Allah had given to us. So contentment is a necessity today rather than the state of discontent that all of us are in. And modern life breeds discontent, so we need to kind of withdraw from that from time to time and again contemplate the many ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So being beneficial is the natural consequence and should be the natural consequence. If Allah Azza wa Jal created all of these people and He feeds them and He protects them and He gives them health and He keeps answering their dua and He sends all these blessings to them, then you also should become a channel and a conduit for the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, because that is His wish. This is why He created them. Even those who disbelieve in Him, He still feeds. And He still gives them children and shelter and health, and He cures their illnesses. He still gives them all of this. So, more so for those who believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, you need to do what? You become a conduit for these blessings as well. You need to become beneficial. So Allah Azza wa Jal, that's why He created humanity, to give them these blessings, and He wants to give that to them, and you should become a person who's a conduit for it. So be beneficial wherever you are, as much as you can. Wherever Allah places you, in your family, in your neighborhood, in places that you visit, in the masjid, next to this person, next to that person, they always should be better because of your presence. So a couple of, ayat or some ahadith to illustrate and emphasize this. So here on page 76, where Isa alayhi salam, and it says in the Quran where Allah says that Isa said, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, and He made me blessed wherever I may be. That's beautiful, really, if you think about it. You know, Isa alayhi salam, wherever he goes, blessed. And the place is better because Isa alayhi salam is sitting. The place is better. That market is better because he walked there, right? That gathering is better because he sat there, right? The food is better because he's eating. It's like wherever he is, it's better because Isa alayhi salam is there. Of course, where does that come from? First of all, because he is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So where do you get that power to be better? Or to share these many blessings? Where does it come from? You don't just simply wish it. You have to be better. Otherwise, you're going to run out of fuel. Right? Because if you try to be nice to this person, to that person, to this person, and this person meets you with some ingratitude, this person meets you with some hostility, this person meets you with some indifference, and this person is grateful, but you repeat that again, and most people meet you with indifference or a negative response than a positive one. What happens to your desire to be beneficial and helpful? It shrinks, right? And it just goes away. It says, I don't care what happens to those people. They're not worth it, right? That's a very common reaction, and if you felt it, you're not alone. These people are not worth it. I mean, I don't want to spend my time trying to save them and help them. Look how they behave and look how they react to me. So what helps him be beneficial wherever he may be? Because he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So that gives him the fuel. And he does not need from them, they need from him. They need him. He doesn't need them. So he doesn't want anything from them. And also an intent to be beneficial. That is, wherever I go, I'll teach. I'll remind them of Allah and the insignificance of this life. And I'll tell them what benefits them. And I'll tell them about what harms them. And I'll tell them about how they can get what benefits them. And how to protect themselves from what harms them. That is what makes them beneficial. And in a famous hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, من أصبح منكم اليوم صائما, who today is fasting. And Abu Bakr said, I am. قال فمن تبع منكم اليوم جنازة, who followed the funeral today. And Abu Bakr said, I am. I did. قال فمن أطعم منكم اليوم مسكينا, who fed a hungry person or a poor person today. So Abu Bakr said, I did. And he says, فمن عاد منكم مريضا, who says, who visited a sick person today. Abu Bakr said, I did. قَالَ مَجْتَمَعْنَا فِي مَرْءٍ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He says, of all of this are combined in one person, he enters Jannah. طيب. Again, the question is, where do you get the energy to do all of this in one day? Right? Like you basically do one and you think either, just that's it, I have no energy to do anything else today. Or you think to yourself, my goodness, I've been a very good person today. Because I visited a sick person or followed a funeral and, right? But he did what? All of them. But that is the nature of the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which they've taken from the Prophet himself, meaning that whenever you see an opportunity to do something good, what do? And no one needs to remind you now, because you already are self-motivated. When you see an opportunity to do something good, what do? You say, that's mine. No one is going to get to it before me. You see, the attitude is very different. It's not somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of it. No. This is mine and no one will get to it before me, because Allah Azza wa Jal made that available. And it may not be available later. Right? There's a hole in the street, right? Or there's a branch that is blocking people's way. You could say, somebody will fix it. It's not my problem. I know it's there. I can avoid it. Or you can say, what an opportunity. Allah had given me something that if I do, it could take me to Jannah. So when you have that, which is loving Allah Azza wa Jal, like truly to be loving of Allah, and also to channel that into loving the Muslims around you, and wanting the best for them, and wanting the best for non-Muslims as well, which is, you know, natural and, you know, praiseworthy. So when that's the case, when you see that you're able to do something beneficial, helps them, pleases Allah, brings you closer to Allah, you say, that's mine. No one gets to it before me. So no one then needs to remind you, so-and-so sick, visit them and take care of them. Or feed the hungry. Or follow a funeral. Because you're saying that is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody comes and asks you for money, and you say, that is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. As some of the Salaf have said, when somebody came, was begging him for money, and he gave and he said, I need what he's offering more than he needs what I'm offering. Right? I need what he's offering. What is he offering? An opportunity to please Allah Azza wa Jal. What am I offering? Money. So I need that, the pleasure of Allah, more than he needs money. Because money is for the dunya. That thing is the thing that lasts for the akhirah. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has this beautiful sentence, and he was like that, meaning Ibn Taymiyyah in his life, he was like that. He said, من أحب أن يلحق بدرجة الأبرار ويتشبه بالأخيار فلينوي في كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس نفع الخلق. So he says, من أحب, the one who loves to reach the rank of the pious and imitate the righteous, should intend to benefit creation every single day when they wake up. Like when you wake up, في كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس, and you could ask yourself, what is your plan for today when you wake up? So today I plan to go to the market, I'm going to cook this, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to watch my diet. You have a plan, right, for yourself. And maybe for some days you have no plan. I say, I'll see what happens as it goes. That's also a possibility. But part of the intention he's talking about is when you wake up and you say, Alhamdulillah that Allah restored life and gave it back to me and allowed me to remember him. And you say, my intention now is if I can help someone, I'm going to help them. I'm going to look for that. If Allah sends someone my way to help, I'll help them. Or I will look for them to see if I'm able to help them. So, okay, why? Why is it? What are you trying to do, Ibn Taymiyyah, when that's the case? He says, that's how you become righteous. That's how you become really pious. That is the difference between the prophets of Allah and those who imitate them and others. Because the prophets of Allah, they benefit you in every possible way. In Sharia, in Islam, they teach you this. But also, if you have a problem, they seek to fix it for you. And so if you want to become someone whom Allah loves, if you want to become someone who benefits the most from this life and in return reciprocates that benefit, when you wake up, you say, if I can find anyone to help, I'm going to help them, online or physically, around you or distant, if we just have that intention, that niyyah, it not, may not materialize that day, but you have that niyyah. Because then when it presents itself to you, you'll take advantage of it. You're not blind to it. And you'll not dismiss it or send it to the next person. You'll be the one who says, let me guide them. Let me take care of them. Let me remove their pain, their hunger, their distress. So the types of benefits that we can offer, and what is the greatest nafa? So, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ. Most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla are those who are the most beneficial. What is the greatest benefit that you could give people? If you think about it, the greatest benefit is the benefit of Islam and the benefit of Iman and the Quran and the Sunnah, because that is the lasting benefit. So if you could teach it, you teach it. And you don't have to be a scholar to teach what you know, but you basically need to be what? Limit yourself to what you know. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Transmit or convey from me even a single ayah. If you know an ayah, don't go ayah and then a little bit of my own interpretation of the my ayah. No, right? We don't need individual interpretation. If you know an ayah, transmit an ayah. You know a hadith, transmit a hadith if you know that it's authentic. You know a benefit that could raise somebody's iman, you do that. Could protect them from doubt and harm, you do that. It benefits them in the akhirah and in the dunya, do that. But the most and the greatest benefit is the benefit of Islam. Okay? So that is something beautiful. And you could be the teacher, or you could reflect what people are teaching. So just like the moon. Does the moon have its own light? It reflects. But because of how much light it reflects, it overshadows, right, all the other planets and stars. You don't see anything besides the moon on a full moon because of how much it reflects. So you may not be the scholar, but you reflect so much goodness in what you teach or what you kind of redirect, and also in how you behave, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, could bless you with so much, and you would be a source of a great blessing. So your behavior matters, right? Your model matters. Your good akhlaq in dealing with people matter, because that is going to teach them Islam, right? So behavior. So calling them to Islam is the best. And also what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here listed in the hadith when he said, "Sururun tudkhiluhu ala Muslim." You bring happiness to a Muslim's heart. How do you bring happiness? Through the things that he mentioned, but also sometimes through very simple acts. One of them, which we will talk about later, inshallah, is saying salam. Salamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam with a smile. How are you doing today? Asking about them, worrying about them. And if you miss them in the masjid, you call them and you inquire about what's happening to them. So that is a surur, a happiness that you bring to them. If they're going through some problems, right, you bring to them and you remind them of that, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, with hardship comes ease. Indeed, with hardship comes ease. And that ease that comes from Allah Azza wa Jalla is not far away, but it is with. So expect the best from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you raise hope and you chase away hopelessness, then that is a surur, happiness that you bring to their heart. If you counsel them, if you give them advice, that is surur. Also what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, takshifu anhu kurba, you remove their hardship, right? Right? They're fighting with so-and-so, you mediate, you resolve the problem. They don't know how to deal with their spouse, with their child, you tell them and they follow your advice and you remove that hardship. Or as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tatrudu anhu ju'a, you chase away their hunger, right? That they're hungry and you give them something to eat. And sometimes it's really beneficial. There's sometimes you come across randomly videos that teach you something. A video that I saw today, very brief, of two young poor children. I don't know when that video was taken, and they're fighting over it. It's just one plate with a little bit traces of rice, and they're fighting over the rice. Who's going to finish it because of hunger? And the comments were saying, this is really humbling, right? It's really humbling, right? When you see them, they're young. And this kid was really upset with the other kid because he's finishing all the rice and he's not leaving some for him. But there's not much on that plate. But it is really humbling because you think to yourself, I could cook 3, 4, 5 plates of rice easily. And I would not feel grateful at all for that. And these are young kids who can't find enough to eat. And you feel, I could do something to help. $1, $5, $10. And they could be eating well for a day or two or a week. So when you know the ni'mah, the extent that the ni'mah Allah had given to you and others don't have it, and then you say, I'm going to help, and you do, then you are a person who had helped and had become beneficial and chased away hunger, and Allah Azza wa Jalla would love you for that. Because you don't want to see that, because you also don't want to see it for yourself and for your own kids. And you say, if I don't want my kids to eat like this or feel like that, then I don't want them also to experience this. So you understand the extent of the agony when somebody is suffering, if somebody feels helpless or they've lost hope around you even. They've lost hope, right? The only thing, it's just closing, the world is closing in on them and they see no exit. And you be the person who comes and he says, here, you take him by the hand and you grab them and they see the light again. Just imagine when you can save a person like this of Allah's reward. So if you're willing, and if you want it, and if you're open, Allah may give that to you. Not necessarily that example, but other things where Allah Azza wa Jal could utilize the gifts that you have. تَطْرُدُ عَنْهُ جُوعًا. Or you pay his debt. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. Maybe you can't, but you make dua for them. And there is a dua from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that if you have debt, Allah Azza wa Jal will help you. Go to Hisn al-Muslim, try to find it. Because if you can give them nothing else, you say, I'll teach you this dua. So you could say it. So just imagine that you're just beaming with benefits to everybody who's around you. They come and consult and you help. About this hadith and you help. About this and you link them to someone who can help them. And this beautiful thing when he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَلَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي مَسْجِدِ هَذَا شَهْرًا. Right? That if I walk with my brother to fulfill his need, meaning he needs something, and it does not happen unless I go with him, mediate or talk on his behalf or help him, and then it happens. And the other option is what? I'tikaf in the masjid. And i'tikaf in what masjid? What masjid we're talking about? It's not this masjid. There, in Medina. So think about it now. How much would you pay in order to go to Medina and do i'tikaf for 1 month? Or at least stay for a month. If it's i'tikaf, it's too much, right? But how much would you pay for that? How much would you normally pay? In the thousands, right? Right? And you consider yourself the luckiest person. Like, I could do a month, meaning afford it, and do a month in the masjid and live in Medina. Here the Prophet ﷺ is telling you what? Walking with my brother to fulfill his need is better than a month's i'tikaf in Medina. If you say, I cannot do a month of i'tikaf in Medina because it's just simply not possible for me, is it possible for you to walk with your brother or your sister until their need is fulfilled? Is it? That's within means. But see how much Allah had given you. So rather we would go and we lament our, you know, luck and we say, oh, I can't go to Medina, I cannot pray in the masjid, I and this and I that. And you don't realize that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you something that could exceed that right next to you. But we are sometimes one-eyed. We see one ibadah, we forget about another ibadah. You have to see the full grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is available right next to you. In the person of your brother and sister, your neighbor or your friend in your neighborhood. And also he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you hold back your anger and you hold back your fury. This is beneficial, by the way, because if you can't help people, at least do not, what? Harm them. They say, today I'm not in the mood to help anybody. too weak, don't have the energy. It's fine, it happens. But at least you do what? What's the minimum here? You don't harm. That is sadaqah. That is sadaqah. That is protection. See, now I'm not going to backbite or ridicule or put down or suspect or spread rumors. Or you're not going to do this. You're not going to be unkind. You're not going to talk back. You're not going to insult. You're not going to do this. But you say to yourself, again, what motivates me when somebody yells at me not to yell back? When somebody insults me not to insult him back, not to put him in their place, not to go and simply unload all my anger on them if I'm having a really bad day. See, if you know that what the Prophet ﷺ had said, مَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ, that if you hold back your anger, Allah conceals your mistakes. Because you've protected this person from your anger, Allah protects you. And that concealment could mean the dunya or the dunya and the akhirah. Meaning Allah hides your mistakes. Why? Because I could, in anger, and you know how sometimes in anger you start pointing people's mistakes? Or you attack them, but you rather say, I'm not going to attack him for Allah. I'm not going to expose their mistakes for Allah. So I'm just going to be quiet. And it's not an easy pill to swallow. But you do this and you remember, Allah will conceal my mistakes if I do this. So it becomes easier to do. Right? So that is a benefit that you're giving this person. And in the other one, he said, if you hold back الغيظ, غيظ and anger are the same. If you hold back your anger, and if you wanted, you could have done something. I could have hit him, punched him, or said something that really hurts, or taken something from them that they like. Meaning that here's the anger, and I'm not holding it back because I'm afraid. It's not fear of people. Right? Because sometimes, you know, you don't do something because what? You're afraid of them. You're angry, but I'm not going to do this because they'll retaliate. So I'm not going to do anything. But imagine a scenario where you're not afraid and you could do what you want. And here the Prophet ﷺ says, but you don't because of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he said, Allah will fill his heart with hope on the Day of Judgment. Because your heart at that moment is filled with anger. And you keep it and you hold it in. So as a reward, Allah Azza wa Jal does what? Replaces it with hope. And the last of it, again, walking with your brother. That is, if you walk with them until you fulfill their need from you, Allah Azza wa Jal establishes, fixes your gait, your walk, and your stand on the Day of Judgment, on a day when the feet slip. Where do they slip, by the way? On when they're walking on what? Sirat, the bridge, right? When you walk, you slip. But if you don't want to slip, this is one way of doing it. So when you're walking with your brother, you imagine this. I'm walking on a sirat right now. So you want to tell him, thank you for asking me to help you, right? Thank you for asking me to help you, because now if Allah accepts this from me, I'm walking on a sirat. And it will be a firm gait, not a firm walk. So Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us, right, to love for people what we love for ourselves. And we are going to visit that concept, inshaAllah, bi'idhnillah, rabbil alameen. But here remember that Allah Azza wa Jal loves it the more that you're beneficial. But that cannot happen until you see the beneficence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the things that He had given to you. And when you see this, you'd be so filled with gratitude and love, that you must share this with other people. Allah had given me so much, let me share this, let me help. And then know that you're getting back more than what you're giving. You're getting back the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so that motivates you to give even more, and to forgive even more, and to be a kinder person because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember this, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. And always I want to remind you, always maintain a balance. We're not saying here that forget about i'tikaf and be a person who's always helping people here and there. It cannot continue like that. You have to have a balance between private, individual ibadah and what we can call social, public ibadah. And you must have both of them. Because what happens is that that imbalance takes place. You find people who are only doing the first, not the second. They're only doing individual private. They're not concerned about people around them. Or people who really want to help, but when it comes to their own personal ibadah, they're severely lacking. That is not right. Not until you worship here and you worship there. Right? And if it's hard, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for support. Allahu A'lam. So pause here, inshaAllah, Rabbil Alameen, and see if you have questions, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal. Let me know. Bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal. And I want to see. Okay. So we have a couple online questions. Can we have multiple intentions for an action? Run a health business for profit and serving patients, silatul rahim with them. You can have multiple intentions, right? You can have multiple intentions. So for instance, you can go to Hajj, and that is a pure act of ibadah, mainly to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and also to do some business, to sell and buy. That is permissible, right? Or you want to shop, or you want to sightsee, permissible. As long as in an act of ibadah, like a pure act of ibadah, the main motivation is what? The worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then the secondary are all the worldly ibadahs. So in jihad, a person could go for jihad, or jihad, and also the ghanima, the booties of the battle. As long as he's doing jihad mainly for Allah Azza wa Jal, not for the money. And then, if the money is a good added bonus, so he could have an intention for that. So this one is not a pure act of ibadah. So you're saying, can I have multiple intention for that act? Meaning I open a business, and I want from it profit, and I also want from it to help others. He says, good for you that you're thinking like that, and you have that intention. Because that will make you a better business person, and you'll serve your customers better because you care about them. It's not about just money. So that is a good intention. And in fact, the more intentions you have, the better when you're doing something. More good intentions. If you just can simply muster, bring together not only two, but three and four and five, that's even better and better and better. So the greater the intention or their numbers, the better. The reward from Allah, and the greater the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Can we have, that's the same? Oh, okay, maybe this is. How does one not feel small when in a group of successful people? Okay. How do you not feel small in a group of successful people? And successful is between quotes. So it's good that you put that in air quotes. What is success? So you're talking about success in the dunya, right? That's what I understand from it. So if you're among those who are successful in the dunya, it says, مَن نَافَسَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا نَافِسْهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. If somebody competes with you in the dunya, compete with them in the akhirah. So here, we're asking you to redefine success, right? Redefine success. If you believe only that success is success in this dunya, of course you're going to feel very small and insignificant. And you will turn towards yourself with blame, turn towards yourself with anger, and put down yourself because you're not as good and smart and. That's, of course, when you think about it, completely unhealthy. But more so, you've been trapped by how you've defined success. And that, by the way, we do this. So-and-so is a millionaire. How is it that I'm not a millionaire? So-and-so has his own clinic. How is it that I... So-and-so can travel. How is it that I can't? So-and-so. When you do this, you're trapping yourself in the dunya with these comparisons. Is this how we define success? Right? No. Who is al-khasirun? قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ Who are they? الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Those who are in loss are those who have lost themselves and their families on the Day of Judgment. How did they lose them? With disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jal, with being in hellfire. Losing the dunya is not loss. Not having it is not loss. Look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Did he care about how much he has? Money? travel, good food, what is the success that you're talking about? You know, the more, and this is the medicine for this, is the more that you learn Islam. Because you will see how Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the one who is invisible, anonymous. Successful are very prominent. Yet the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدَ التَّقِيَّ الْغَنِيَّ الْخَفِيِّ. Allah loves the abd, servant of his, who has taqwa, who is rich on the inside and who is anonymous. And that anonymous person could be like in the other hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And again, listen to this, right? Listen to this. And if we had time, we could talk about this. But listen to this. رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْفَرْ مَدْفُوعٍ بِالْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهِ. Perhaps a person who is unkempt, full of dust, who will be rejected when he seeks to mediate or knocks on doors, if he were to swear upon Allah, Allah would honor his request. Now, tell me, is this person successful? Yes or no? We said, depends on how you're going to define success in the dunya. Is he successful? No one knows about him. No one cares about him. Mean أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ, meaning he doesn't have much. Meaning his hair is not, you know, combed, right? He's full of dust, meaning that he's, you know, experiencing hardship. And مَدْفُوعٍ بِالْأَبْوَابِ, meaning, you know, can I marry your daughter? What? You? Go away. Can you please mediate for so-and-so? Can I have this job? You? Go away. No one listens to him. But who listens to him? Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning if he says, Allahumma uqsimu alayka, Allah fa'alta kada wa kada. Ya Allah, I swear that you should do this and this. Allah will tell him what? Yes. That is success. But now you have to recalibrate, what do you mean by success? So if you feel small, that's what I began with. If you feel small because of lack of achievements in the dunya, where is your akhirah? Achieve in the akhirah. Put your success in the akhirah. Then all of those people, and we wish good for everybody, right? But all those people who have all of these achievements in the dunya, I have the degree, I have the mansions, I have this fleet of cars, I have the name, when they come on the day of judgment, what are these things? None of them will be in existence. But you, with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, will be ahead all of them. Because then you competed for the akhirah, right? So that's what I can say about it. And if you're missing something, ask Allah for it. But don't make your intention simply and only the dunya. Ya Allah, just make me famous. Ya Allah, just make me outstanding. That I would outstrip everybody else in terms of this, in terms of that. Don't make achievements in the dunya the thing that determines how you see yourself. Focus on the akhirah and be content with Allah, whatever Allah gives you in the dunya. If you believe success is in the akhirah, you're not going to feel so small. Bismillah azza wa jal. But read the seer, the life of the pious, beginning with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, al-Hasan al-Basri, Ibn Sirin, al-Thawri, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Read these biographies because you'll understand how they lived, and that will inspire you by the will of Allah azza wa jal. Okay. Anyone who has a question that I have not... I'm not forcing you to ask anything. I'm just making sure that I did not miss anybody. Okay. We gotta answer these quickly, inshallah. What if we want to help and we're in a position to help, but the person is shy to accept the help? What is the advice for the person to help and the recipient? So if the recipient, right, is shy, be indirect. Right? Be indirect. You could leave them a note so that they don't feel burdened by the fact of accepting somebody's assistance. Mediate, so ask somebody else to help them on your behalf. Make it anonymous, right? So there are ways that you could deal with that, inshallah. And also you could just make dua for Allah to make it easy so that they could accept the help that you want to give to them. So if that doesn't happen, through somebody else, inshallah. How do we get over the people slandering us prior to the effect was really... slandering us prior and the effect was really bad. How do we get over it and forgive as it affects our family's dignity? Okay, let me see the next question. So many people need help. It gets overwhelming. Any tips to help and benefit? That is covered there. If it gets overwhelming, understand your own limitations. That's a good question. So if it gets too much for you, know when to stop. So if it's affecting your own personal health, affecting your family dynamics, your time with them, if you just simply have reached the end, realize that you've reached your end. Just like with money, right? I could help with a dollar and five and ten, and then eventually you'll say what? I ran out. So there's a limit. Food in the fridge. You can give, but then you say what? My family needs to eat, right? Because the family comes first. It has to. You have to feed your children. So the same thing. I'm out of energy. I can't anymore. Then realize you're out of energy. So again, balance is important. Don't help so much so that you begin to suffer and your family suffers. Right? So balance. And remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Each has a right. Yourself, your children, your spouse, your neighbors, your body, each. So give each their right. So help, but then know when to stop, right? And sometimes it may make experience. Being slandered, and you say, how can I forgive, especially that affected me? It's not an easy process, and no one is asking you necessarily to forgive, right? But just realize, first of all, that things happen for a reason, and Allah Azza wa Jal allows them to happen for a reason. Learn from it. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness, grow because of it, and realize also that in time you may be able to forgive. Maybe not now, but in time you'll be able to forgive. So what I'm going to ask you to do, make dua for that person. You don't need to forgive, just make dua for that person. May Allah Azza wa Jal, not against them, for them. May Allah allow them to see the mistake that they've done. May Allah help them repent. May Allah fix their mistakes. May Allah just keep making dua for that person and see in time, maybe your attitude will change. Bismillah Azza wa Jal. We're going to have to stop, inshallah, so that we don't encroach on Maghrib. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khaira. I'll see you, inshallah, the same time next week. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.